This is Victoria Davis, a.k.a. The Victator.
And this is Laura Jean Moore, a.k.a. New Brit.
And you are listening to Livin' and Lovin' in NYC.
Woo!
We're going to have a great show today. We're live again at kpiss.fm in Piss Alley in Bushwick. And The Victator, which is me, is going to do the Victator's usual PSA of things that I'm going to say before we
actually start
having
a dialogue.
Victator
always has a PSA?
Well, from now on, that's just happening. So, first of all, we had a great month in terms of listeners. We had...
Shout out to Ghana.
Well, I'll give you the Ghana report in a second.
Okay.
So, we had... 250 downloads.
Woo!
And like at least 50 additional listens.
This is big numbers for
yeah,
us.
Yeah, it is. So we're blowing up is the thing. Now in terms of the Ghana report, we doubled our listeners.
Not to be confused with the gonorrhea report.
No. Fortunately, I don't have to give this time.
It's true. Ghana is in the awesome country in Africa.
Yeah. So as I mentioned last time, we had gone up from 2 to 4, and this time we have gone up from 4 to 8. So we have once again
doubled
our listeners in Ghana.
Amazing.
Also
very
interesting.
Very Christian nation. So I really appreciate that we have some.
Yeah,
Ghanaian
we love
listeners.
It. We hope it's real and not like some other thing.
Of course
thing.
It's
but,
real.
Another thing is we actually had, 8 listeners in Spain.
Yeah, we did.
8 in the UK and 1 in China. We definitely, we always have listeners in Sweden and we know who those people are. And I love you guys so much.
We're also hi, Swedish friends.
Hi, Swedish friends. We're also sitting with a Swede, who I'll introduce in a minute. But here's the thing. We're obviously getting listeners that aren't just our friends. But who the hell are you? Like, who are you in Ghana? Who are you in Spain?
I want these people who we don't know who they are to leave reviews on our iTunes page.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So that we can, like, not just hear what they think about us, but also find out who they are. Like,
yeah,
I
like, honestly, we're like,
we're
seriously like, who the fuck are you? Like, we're confused.
It's so exciting.
Like, it's exciting, but we also are really confused. and so we would like you to either, definitely leave us a review on iTunes. And our friends should, too. Come on, guys. But, also just to tell us who the hell you are. Or wherever you're listening. If it's, like, Stitcher or Podcast Republic. Okay.
Or Nebraska.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or Chicago. So now I'm going to do some shout-outs.
We have so many shout-outs
week. We have a few. Yeah. If you're, like, listening on iTunes and want to fast-forward, don't.
By the way, I should say, if you leave a review on our podcast, we'll probably give you a shout-out in the next episode.
Or basically anytime you compliment us as well.
Because we're vain.
Our egos are huge. okay. So definitely Liz Clark Wessel, who basically said we were meant to be radio stars. That's
shout-out.
Awesome.
Thank you, Liz.
Tiffany from Queens, because I don't think I've even told you this, New Brit, but... No. When Tiffany from Queens listens to us,
TFQ,
she and her boyfriend, they blast us on the beach at Jones Beach. They listen to us at the beach, and so like not only are they listening to us, but also there's like because I went with them like this other time recently, and it's just like all these families. So it's a good thing we're so family friendly.
And the last episode, we had this 9-year-old boy who Sherry briefly put the headphones on as he was passing by the booth, and we were in the middle of talking about like anal sex,
finger banging.
And we were like, someday
and then there's a child.
There's a child. We can't say what we want to
say. Okay, so then Sarah, Tricky, and Magda, because they have just been awesome and said great things.
Always.
Sarah Schulman, who I am going to say right now, I have a huge crush on. You're beautiful, Sarah.
Ooh.
But thank
Can
you.
Can we just say there's so many beautiful Sarahs in the world?
There are. Are we done with the shout out report?
I think we're done with the shout out report. I think it's time to introduce our guests.
Okay. Why don't you take the reins?
Well, I got to say, I know we discussed our guest's radio name prior to going on the air, but I would like for her to introduce herself and tell us about that radio name. So here we go.
Well, my radio name is Gail Manus. It's not very funny, but once I was trying to say male gayness and I blurted out Gail Manus instead, so that's a good enough radio name.
From this point
right?
on.
I was just talking about male gayness,
like guys
as opposed
being
to
gay?
Like, you know, female.
Yeah.
That's all.
Did you know guys were gay sometimes? Newbert?
Sometimes they are.
I thought this like gayness was like a G plus anus, like gayness,
like male G anus,
right? Like male G anus,
male G spot
or something. This is about gayness.
Yes.
Which is appropriate.
Yeah. This is not like just old school gayness as opposed to like millennial queerness freeform. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually talking to someone recently who's older, and I was talking about how a lot of young people like to identify as queer right now.
Yeah.
And he took offense.
Yeah.
I had that happen to me once. It was kind of weird. I was like trying out this new shrink, and he had been recommended to me by a friend who is gay, who had seen him as couples therapy with his partner. And I told this shrink that I identified as queer, or I was like queer or bi or whatever. And he's like, queer is an old word. It's a slur. We don't like to use that anymore. I was like, okay, I don't think we're going to get along.
Yeah, I just kind of...
That's like verbatim what this guy told me.
I mean, this guy wasn't gay, though. Like, that's the thing. Like, he was just an old straight dude who thought queer was a bad word. And I have a friend who shall remain nameless, but who's like, who kind of like, he's straight, but like he came up in the hardcore scene in New York City, like in the 90s or whatever. Mm. And he's like, I don't know about all these kids calling themselves queer. Like, I remember when I was like, back in the 90s when I was like, you know, 19 or whatever, those dudes who called themselves queer, they were like mean. They would like bash your face in if you crossed them. Like,
yeah.
Wait, so are you telling me that queer was representative of like an angry gay gang? Was that?
Well, it was like radical queers, kind of queer core people or whatever. Like people who are like super like politicized, like, you know, radical like gay dudes, like not like some like
ready to cut you. Ready to cut you.
Yeah.
Ready to what?
Cut you.
Oh, okay. It's funny because Newbert's like staring at me as she's saying this. She's saying, ready to cut you. Someone's going to get murdered
that
in the booth.
That could be a slur
apparently.
Or something.
I don't know. The Victator's idea on identifying as queer is I totally understand why older people have a problem with that. I think that their views are entirely valid. My opinion's really boring. But I think, let's face it, this is where language is going in terms of, like, you know, any non-straight identity. And I think that it is good to have some sort of umbrella term. And right now, that is the one. I also think that that could very easily change one day, and that's fine, too. I don't know. I'm not that attached to, like, specific intense labels. I'm more about talking about like what you are and who you are, and I think queer is a great umbrella term. I'm happy with it. Can we talk about eating pussy? Because I think that's
oh my god, I was gonna say, speaking of different words for things, I know that you have more slurs for cunnilingus than any person I've ever met. When we were discussing this episode, I believe one of the terms that came up was eating the furry taco.
I did not invent that. And it's the furry tuna taco.
Oh, the furry tuna taco.
Yeah,
which, can I just say, pussy does not taste like fish. Yeah. And if it does, you probably have an STD.
Oh, I completely agree that it doesn't taste like fish. And that you probably have an STD if it does. But, again, I didn't invent it. I was just
going brilliant. Down. What are all the roast beef curtains. That has nothing to do with this eating pussy, though. Yeah. eating the peach.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that one.
I like the peach.
I love that Key and Peele skit when they're teaching the class how to eat pussy, and they're like, pick a peach and lick it. Pick a peach and practice.
How am I not aware of this?
It's so great. It's really, you should look it up. Yeah,
I will. But so, Newbert, you were the one, this was like your topic. You were like insistent. Like, she was like, we need to talk about eating pussy.
We need to talk about eating pussy. We need to talk about receiving the eating of the pussy.
Okay.
I feel like this is one of those things that doesn't get talked about. Blowjobs are so common in our discourse that third graders make jokes about BJs. But
you want third graders to start making jokes about eating the furry tuna taco?
Jokes about eating
the pussy. Should get that kid back in here.
Okay, did you hear about? Okay, here's another reason why we should do it. There's that kid at Duke who has recently protested reading Fun Home. I don't know if you saw this in the news.
Yeah, I did.
Because he said it was pornographic, and the things he said, basically what he cited as pornographic was the fact that the main character at one point puts her hand down her pants because she's masturbating, and another time there's a picture of a woman with her head between another woman's legs. And I just think there is this way in which what gets called pornographic is just female pleasure. It's not necessarily sex, because a lot of sex sort of passes the censors. And I have read too about how the people that censor movies and stuff always, if there's like a scene with a woman getting cunnilingus, it gets a way higher rating than if it doesn't.
There's one like exception to that rule though. I feel like you never see full frontal male nudity, like, is considered way more pornographic in movies. Like, you never see that. And you never see hard-ons in movies. That's weird. Like, a dude gets out of bed, like, in the morning, limp dick. Right. After sex, limp dick.
Or just, like, profiles of, like, two people making out and the guy's not hard. I'm like, what's wrong with that guy?
Right. You just made me think of that scene in the opening of Shameless where Michael Fassbender walks around and the camera just focuses on his dick for, like, 20 minutes. And first of all, Michael Fassbender has a beautiful cock. Second of all,
nice cock.
Yeah, but he's like in the morning getting dressed and he doesn't have a hard on. And I know that's not the case.
Yeah.
Like, for again, unless, people.
I mean, we would think he has a problem. We know that's not.
I mean,
have
you woken up with like a hard clit before? I've totally.
No.
You never had that happen?
No.
Y'all
but
wanted
no, me. No. But I do occasionally, and we've discussed this. I do occasionally come in my sleep, not just dreaming about coming. Like, I wake up in the middle of a fucking intense orgasm, and like
that's happened to me.
That's also why like I won't share the bed with friends and relatives because like if I like because I think if I'm like in the same room with someone, they might not know. They might hear me breathing or whatever because I'm not like screaming. But if they were in the bed with me, they'd know
that's so
because
hot.
I'm like coming the fuck out of. And it's so weird because I'm not even touching myself.
Right. No, I only did this one time. And I was having a sex dream with a lady, and I think it was my first sex dream I'd had in like 6 years.
Oh,
and
really?
So, because I go through these periods where like there's tons of sex dreams and then no sex dreams, and I came in my dream and I woke up and I was like, oh my god, that's what's crazy.
Yeah,
because I didn't touch myself.
No, it's incredible.
And it was like full body waves, the whole thing. It was amazing.
Well, I think what that really speaks to is that like you need certain things to be happening in your brain in order for like you to have a physical orgasm. And what just really blew my mind about that, I mean, it was like, holy shit, my brain is so fucking strong I can come without contact. But I mean, if you think about it, guys do that all the time. And you know, it's all the same, technically it's all the same nerve ending, so it's weird.
Guys
that
it, all the time?
Guys come in their sleep all the time.
Oh, they have nocturnal emissions.
Yeah.
I was
especially
thinking
when they're young. Like,
I was thinking, because I know, I can't remember who told me this. Somebody told me about one time making themselves come on a train. When they were just like sitting there and
that might have been me
and thinking about sex. Was that you?
No, because I definitely wasn't just thinking about it. Like, I do the thigh squeezing, you know what
I
mean?
Oh, you do the thigh squeeze thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can come from that. Yeah.
I used to, in third grade, I used to wear really tight jeans on purpose.
You're really obsessed with third grade, by the way. This is a very...
Third grade was a quote-unquote seminal year for me.
Hopefully not a seminal year.
I would like scoot up in my chair during handwriting practice and like just kind of slide back and forth so that the seam of the inside of my jeans would like go back and forth. And I never came that way. It was before I even understood what really was happening. That was the year I looked up. I found like my... That was the year that my Democracy/Save the Earth Club picked up condoms on the playground. And our teacher was like, don't touch that. That's a dirty condom. Mm. And we were like, what's a condom?
It's a great way to learn.
And they were like, go ask your mother.
Yeah.
And that's how I learned what sex was.
Oh.
Because my mom described it as this puzzle thing.
You were 8? That's a little bit late.
It was like the religious
No wonder you're such a slut.
I know. I was considered like an early learner too on that subject. Yeah. So maybe in New York, things happen sooner or faster.
Well, we had to get. I went to elementary school in the West Village, and we, you know, this was during the AIDS crisis in the 80s, and we had a teacher who was a gay male who died of AIDS. He wasn't my teacher, but he was a teacher in the school. I had two teachers that were lesbians. Like, we were open about this stuff. And I mean, my teachers didn't announce to the class, we're lesbians. But, like, the parents knew, and my mom would talk about it. But we were taught about safe sex from a very early age because people were dying. And so, you know, and I had already known about sex then because I don't remember why. Apparently, and I'm only talking about intercourse here. When my mother told me what intercourse was, because I asked her how babies were made, she said I didn't believe her, which is a sign of my budding lesbianism. Because I was just like, no, that doesn't happen. I was like, what are you talking about? That's ridiculous. And she was like, no, that's what happens. The penis goes in the, and I was like, no, it doesn't. That's yeah.
Well, to give you some context, after I learned what sex was, 2 years later in fifth grade, when we moved to this little tiny town in like north of Atlanta, as country as can be, I did my school science project on the AIDS crisis.
Oh.
And all of these parents at the science fair kind of like shuffled their children past my booth because I was talking about all the myths around how you, like, you know, people thought you could get AIDS from a toilet seat back then, you know, like from kissing someone. And I was like, this is indicative of homophobia. Blah, blah, blah.
You must have been so cute, you little queer.
I was the nerdiest little butch kid that you ever saw. You saw those pictures.
I did.
You
did. You're adorable. Yeah. All
right, I femmed up later.
First of all, I think okay, we got to go back to leaving Gail out of the conversation.
I know we need to talk to you
and
more.
And second of all, we need to talk more. Okay, Gail, why don't you tell us?
Start us off.
Give us a blanket statement on eating pussy that you want the world to know.
I'm not.
Word association. Just anything you need to say.
I think it's I would say it's, to me, it's way more intimate, at least to be on the receiving end, than intercourse.
Okay, why do you say that?
I don't know. It's intimate. You got your face in there. You know, like that is a whole other level of intimacy to me than like general. I don't feel like it's. Eating somebody else out
is not intimate.
It's intimate, but like I could like easily do with somebody I'm sleeping with for the first time.
Without like,
it's really unlikely that I'm gonna come from somebody eating me out if I don't know them. It's happened once or twice, but
really.
But it's like, it's not like, all right, not so a guarantee.
Two things that I'm going to blow up right here. One is for our listeners that don't know Miss Manus or Gail. don't
Miss Manus if you're nasty.
Don't get mad at me. She's bisexual and some level of poly. I'm just telling our listeners that. But
I don't identify with the term poly. I just. Like, oh, I know.
Okay. You're right. Yeah. Sorry. My bad. I'm horrible. I'm the worst. And the other thing, but she and her partner, they're open.
Yes, we're non-monogamous.
Oh, yeah, they're ethically non-monogamous, as the kids are saying these
days.
Sounds
incredibly unsexy.
And then also, sorry, Gail, and sorry, New Brit, but I'm going to blow up right now. You guys have had sex.
Is this true?
It's true.
And so presumably you guys have, well, I don't know exactly, I mean, I've heard details from both of you multiple times, and I think, and I'm very happy
you're not gonna,
for that.
You're not going to ask.
Look, we've both eaten each other's pussies.
Yeah, that's and we've both eaten each other's pussies.
Yeah, this
okay.
has happened.
Cool.
Yeah.
So we're having a very meta discussion right now is all I'm trying to point out to our listeners.
Okay. Okay, so on the pussy eating.
Yeah.
First of all, I feel like I need to say the first time I ate pussy was Sarah's pussy.
Mm-hmm.
And
I'm sorry, you mean Gail's pussy.
Excuse me, Gail's pussy. Oh, shit. Yeah. Like I said,
Miss Venus's pussy.
Miss Venus's pussy. And, you know, when the first time I sucked dick was many, many years ago. But I remember having beforehand the same feeling, which was like, am I going to be afraid of this? Because it was new, you know?
Yeah.
And then... Oh, I'm totally not afraid of this. This is wonderful. Yeah. I'm so into this.
Yeah. I mean, you could have fooled me. I was very surprised when I learned that you'd never slept with a lady before.
Well, I've slept with myself a lot. So there's that.
Helps.
Although I don't have the flexibility to actually have ever given myself cunnilingus. I got to say, like, the other reason I want to talk about this topic was because I think we should talk about pointers and about how, like, every vagina is different.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, and to speak to something that Sarah said before, I've never actually come from someone going down on me.
What?
Exclusively. Yeah. And.
What?
Yeah. And I think that part of that is what you were talking about earlier, which is the brain component. Because, and the weird thing is, I'm not paranoid. You know, I know a lot of women are paranoid about their bodies. They're paranoid about whether they smell right. And so sometimes that anxiety can prevent you from being able to come. I think for me, I'm so focused on the other person's pleasure that it is hard for me to just chill the fuck out. Yeah.
Yeah, I like, I'm right there with you. I think it's also like, if I'm going to break it down, it's I'm focused on the other person's pleasure, and I'm very like, if it's somebody I care about, I am very concerned about like them feeling good about the experience and them having a good time. Mm-hmm. And I think especially for dudes, there's so much sex ego tied up in making a woman come, like contrary to stereotype maybe. Like I think a lot of dudes are like, "Okay, I'm going to eat her out. She's going to come and she's going to think I'm an awesome lover." And then you feel that pressure. You're like, you're like, he's down there and you're like, okay, he really needs me to come soon or else he's going to not feel good about this. And like the moment I feel that pressure, I'm not going to come.
Yeah. Question though. Yeah. Do you ever fake it?
No.
Good. Good. No,
definitely
no.
not. And I got to say too, I think that, right. Okay. So like there's either the bad lover who doesn't care if you come, or there's a bad lover who insists that you come.
Yeah.
And both of those are bad because like, frankly, like just let me have a good time and trust me when I tell you that I am. And like, I think I've had lovers who were very, their ego was tied up in coming and it was never about me. At the end of the day, that kind of obsession is not about my pleasure. It's about them feeling like a good lover.
Right.
And I should be able to tell you, I like to come this way. And I have a very specific way that I can usually almost always come.
Right.
But like, isn't that fine? And I was talking to my current lover the other day, and we were talking about, orgasms in general and how like everybody has like their favorite way to come. I think maybe not everybody does. I think a lot of people have their favorite way to come.
People generally tend to know what does it for them.
They know what does it for them. And we were talking about whether or not, I was like, I told him the same thing I just told you guys, which is that I've never come from someone going down on me. But I think that if I could, like, was deep enough in a relationship, was relaxed enough, I think it could be possible. I'm not going to say it's outside the realm of possibility. Mm-hmm. But then also he pointed out to me, he's like, but babe, too, like, if you know this thing you love and it works, like why treat yourself like you're broken? Like if it's not broken, why fix it?
No, I agree.
Don't feel the pressure there. Anyway, I think that's awesome. He's the best.
Sounds like Gail Manis has something she wants to say.
I think that it's like, I was just gonna say, I was like, yeah, you know what works for you, but I also like, the other thing is like, I like being surprised with new lovers, because there are like, I've discovered ways in which I can come, or like discovered things that I like that I would never have known if I hadn't stumbled upon them with somebody.
Right. Well, don't you also feel like, as like women, as they get older, A, like we're, you know, their sexual peaks happen later, but B, like I just find that ways that didn't, yeah, it's like as I've gotten older, I come from so many more things than I did before. I used to never come from penetration when I was younger. It just wasn't possible.
Yep.
Whereas now, like, I totally can from like a, you know, like dildo or just like fingers or like whatever. Like, it's totally, you know, ostensibly that could happen with a penis, but unlikely. But like, I think it's so great to be a woman.
It really is good to be a woman.
I just like to say, I have learned that there are also different kinds of orgasms.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And like, I think what you're getting at for me, like for years I thought I was broken because I wasn't having my biggest orgasms during intercourse.
Right.
But I was having like small orgasms.
Yeah.
Those are great too. Like, what in the hell? Anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I feel like things, like when I was in my late 20s, things started happening that I didn't like, that I was like, I thought it was a myth that like some women could come from like penetration or like squirting, whatever. And like, yeah, in like my late 20s, early 30s, suddenly I was like, whoa, all these new things are happening. Like, this is really cool.
I also
the different kinds of orgasm thing for sure. And like, I've really fluctuated over the years on like whether or not like pussy eating is like the thing that makes me come surefire. Like, there was a couple of years where like that really just was not my favorite thing at all.
Hmm.
And now it's kind of come back where I'm like, yeah, I'm into this. This
Cunnilingus is back.
Cunnilingus is back.
Yeah. No, it, for the record, it almost always makes me come. Like, and even if the person like, and granted we're talking almost entirely about women, even if the person isn't, well, I wouldn't say not skilled, but like if the person is a little unfamiliar and unsure, I can just grab the fucking back of their head.
Oh my god!
And rub my pussy
the
on rub my pussy on their face
the
and like get it done.
Oh my god! Amazing.
Which I can't say that. And most
are
most
you power bottoming? You're such a power bottom.
I'm bottom-ish. As you know, I refuse.
Bottom-ish.
It's true. I'm homoflexible, monogaflexible, bottom-ish. Yeah. It's like...
All the things.
It's a very vague
none
sexuality.
None of us are any one thing. Yeah. I think that that's the case.
Very vague sexuality. But, yeah, and here's the thing. I'm sorry. This is going to sound terrible.
Do it.
When I'm going down on a woman, uh-huh. I hate when she just fucking lays there.
Oh, give me some feedback.
Give me some fucking feedback and go ahead. Move your pussy into my face in the way that it
Put
it
my
works.
Hands where you want my hands to be.
Yeah, it's
you
like,
know, some women love finger penetration while you're going down on them.
Yes, absolutely.
And some women do not.
Yes, that's also
And
true.
Like, you have to find out what the preference is.
Yeah,
you can't
I know,
just
and I'm
assume.
Not going to know. It's like, that's right. the thing. Like, it's like, but that, in cases where... Yeah, those are basically the only times, because I love eating pussy, the only times I don't love eating pussy is when I feel like I'm getting absolutely no feedback. And again, like, ego is one thing, but, like, I would much rather, like, make you feel good, like, and do it the way that you're telling me to do it, than I am, like, doing how I want it to do it to you and have no response.
Right, absolutely.
I mean, that's just stupid.
Absolutely.
And also, it's funny, because I thought I was going to have nothing to say on this topic. I'm
you
not
have
kidding.
Some things to say.
I'm not kidding.
You have things to say, Victator.
But like,
say them.
Okay. But there have been, like, a few manuals out in the last few years about,
oh boy.
Like, eating pussy.
Oh,
and
boy.
I really didn't, like, I think I, like, skimmed a review of one. But then apparently Margaret Cho helped edit one or helped write one. And I was at my friend, what's up, Allison, at her house.
I thought we didn't use names.
We're using
sorry.
That's no one know. I'm not saying her last
okay,
name.
Okay, fine. Okay, so you're at her house.
I was at her house, and she. I feel so bad now, but she was like trying to think about. Okay, so she had this new sexual partner, and she wanted some tips on oral sex. And I basically what I said to her was, I can't really give you a name because like I really feel like it has to do with like whatever. And then she was like, well, we look at this book that I have.
Oh my gosh, she asked you for like the gospel, and you were like, I'm not a prophet.
I
can't give it to
I'm
you.
I'm not. No,
I find it so hard to believe that you had nothing to say about this.
I basically
like
said, find your rhythm and go with it. Like, I mean,
okay.
like, you know what I mean? It's like, you just, yeah, it takes a minute
like
to
surfing.
Find that right rhythm with someone. And anyway, but so she said, she like handed me this book and I was reading it and it was like all this advice. And like, I was just like, this is fucking like, because the most common thing that you hear
uh-huh.
when, or read when like there's like tips on clitoral stimulation of any kind, it's like, don't at all ever like direct stimulation is terrible. Like,
oh, I wanted to talk about this specifically.
Like, yeah,
this
and
is
like,
interesting.
Yeah, obviously,
yeah.
you don't just like go to the clit with a jackhammer right off the bat, but like some people I know, like, and me sometimes, like are like very clear, like, I want really direct
right on there.
Stimulation to my clit is what I have heard from some people and what I myself sometimes want.
I mean, I sort of agree, although I think when I think of direct, it's not actually direct, like, it's like direct, like. Through like some layer
of skin
or something,
or,
yeah. But I have a pet peeve in this arena, like when it comes to people eating me out. It's like, yes, like go for the clit, but like warm up first.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Oh, absolutely.
Like there are like the clit is not mine or any woman. I think I can speak for all women. Any woman's only erogenous zone.
No, definitely.
Like there
not.
Are like you know. Work the surroundings. Work the surroundings.
Yeah.
Okay, in fact, I think the buildup is key. I mean, like we were saying earlier, it's so much psychological. So, like, if people start, like, around the outer labia and then go inside the inside of the outer labia and then, like, go from underneath the
yeah.
clit on the inner labia and then go up on the side and then on top. Like, and
or,
I was
or
talking...
Or whatever.
Or whatever, you know, just some advice.
yeah.
If you're gonna... And also, too, I feel like a lot of guys think, or women as well, that if you just suck on the clit, like, a blowjob, that's gonna work. That does not do it for most people. Like
no.
that, you need like some gentle with hard. You know, there's what is it? The element of surprise is key to eroticism. Is that part of it?
I don't know about surprise.
A technique. I think it depends on. Okay, so I was talking to this girlfriend the other day, and we were talking about masturbating, and she was saying she prefers stimulation of her clit from underneath. So you know that really smooth yes. part and where the inner labia meet each other mm-hmm. at the top? That's right underneath the clit. She likes that to be stimulated. And I was like, that's very interesting because my favorite thing is directly above the clit, where if you press down, you yeah. can actually feel, it feels, if I may, like a you string may. On a double bass underneath your skin. That you can, right that you can, like move back and forth against the pubic bone.
Oh yeah.
Oh my
yeah,
god, okay, I love okay, okay. that. Okay. Is my favorite
Maybe
thing
I
on the earth.
I never played the bass.
By the way, my current lover is an upright double bassist, and he was playing at a comedy show the other day.
My partner.
Oh, I did yes. not know that. And he was playing a comedy show the other day, and the comic made a remark about how the ladies must love his hand skills, and I think that my lover was not quite sure what was going on, and I explained to him, babe, that thing you do, that's what they're talking about. And I was like, every woman in the audience was thinking that of their own
yeah.
double bass string being strum.
Double bass?
I've never thought of it that way, but I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But the other thing about it, I feel like if I were, I mean, and your mileage may vary, but like, the one thing I like, I'm sometimes like when people just like go straight for the clit, I'm like, you could save yourself so much time and effort by doing other things first. You know what I mean? Like you're like hooking up with somebody for the first time and they go straight for it and you're like, shit, this is gonna take 30 minutes. Right. If we'd spent 30 minutes like with like me, like getting you off or like, you know, whatever, just doing something else. Like honestly, like for me, like sucking dick for 10 minutes could take like 10 minutes off like my like coming timeline. Oh, easy.
Absolutely.
Or like if a dude is willing or a lady, we were talking about this recently,
were we?
You know that I love my tits being sucked on.
Oh yeah, me too.
That can get me so much closer to coming than almost anything else on earth.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's not yeah. even, it's nowhere close to the vagina.
Yeah, but you know, it's really, it's first of all, it's really strange because of the women that I've been with, it's so random. Some women like love that, and other women just like it does nothing for them whatsoever.
Yeah, I'm kind of tit phobic. Like not other people's tits, but like I am very very particular about how mine are touched.
Oh god, I just want them touched all the time. I want them bit. I want them like literally like. But okay, but
Dictator
here
and I are right on the same page.
Yeah, on I this topic. I have this feeling we're related. We're both Welsh.
I know. But, it's like, true.
So okay. Well, okay.
That sex gene just gets passed down.
Apparently. A couple of things. Talking about getting, you know, going slow, et cetera, and then getting to, you know. I really want to quote a friend of mine who listens to the podcast. We'll call him Z.
Hi, Z.
I told him that we'd be discussing this. Okay. And his girlfriend, actually, texted me, conolingus starts as gentle as a butterfly, ends up like a bulldog eating a bowl of oatmeal.
Oh my god!
So,
oh my god!
So yeah, what up, Z? Loving that. The other thing is,
I mean, if you don't like, my opinion is like, if you don't have slobber all over your face, you're probably doing it wrong. Like at the end of it,
absolutely
like,
agree. You know? Absolutely. And also, here's the thing. I also think that when it comes to eating pussy, it's not just about the tongue. It's about your mouth entirely. It's also about like your face. Like, I mean, it's not just like you need to like have your tongue like doing a Spanish R. Like, you know, it's like there's so many other ways to
noses
do it.
Can be key.
What?
I think a nose can be
oh
key.
Yeah, no, sometimes the
a
nose,
well-placed
right?
nose
right? Absolutely.
Oh my god,
absolutely. It's getting hot in here.
I know. Like if the nose kind of ends up kind of on the side, like right in that inner labia between the inner and outer, it's just I wow. just oh.
You are so specific. It's great.
I think that we need to be specific because
no, it's great. No, here's the thing. Like I'm specific in my knowledge of the vagina is very specific. But when I'm fucking, I'm like so not thinking my outer labia, my inner
I
labia.
Am all technical. Yeah. I have like algorithms for when I go down on people that I use. Mm. Yeah. Maybe I should. Should I elaborate on my algorithm?
I think you should. We're not just going to like ignore that.
I just, if I go down on a woman, I make sure to pay attention to every single part, if you will. Like I think of the vagina as multiple parts.
Yes.
And I like to make sure that every single part gets some attention. I like pay attention to how flat my tongue is because I think especially on places like the clit, it's important to have like an even and distributed massaging
okay.
Place oftentimes. I don't know. And you, I vary it. It depends.
You know, when I'm doing the smooth, even massaging thing, I actually am less likely to use my tongue than I am my lips. I'll like use my lips like as like a, yeah.
Okay, when I go down on a man, when I say algorithm, I literally use an algorithm of prime numbers where where I do this is the next level shit. Where I do this thing where I count up to like 31. And I stay mostly around the head with my hands on the dick.
On the shaft.
On the shaft. And then at every prime number, when I hit the prime number, I go deep. And then I count backwards to on primes from 31. And boy, wait, by the time, listen, never in my life.
Gail is getting like an if I may face on her.
By the time I get to 321, I have never had someone not come by that point.
I just want to say, I like my knowledge of prime numbers ends at 7 pretty much. So like...
You just screwed? Like, what? So how have you been sucking dick all these years?
It's like jazz, you know? It's just like just free form.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of sucking dick, and I know that's not our main topic, but I do
no,
I
we're,
do feel
we're,
like it
we're
gets
an open
short. Like it's a little bit like people, I think sometimes people like assume that like eating pussy is complicated and sucking dick is just not. And they, I just feel like I need to say that. Like I feel like people way underrate like how many parts of like the genital penis area there are.
Oh,
and, like,
sure,
what to do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Although, yeah. I think somebody dumped me once over like, how do I put this delicately? I sort of ate him out, even though he was a dude. Like, there wasn't any actual, like... I may not even have, like, actually sucked his dick. There was just, like, tonguing going on in other areas. And he came. Mm. But, like, he was really upset about it. Like, I could tell he got really sensitive and upset about it afterwards. He was a weirdo. And we pretty much never... Like, he kind of dumped me.
Wait, so you made him come by licking his balls, his ass, and his inner thigh.
Yeah.
But somehow there was a problem.
Wait,
there couldn't have been later encounters where you, like, took his dick in your mouth? Like, I feel like he, like...
He felt violated?
We've been seeing each other on and off for a while. No, I think he, like, felt, like, too girly or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was embarrassed.
Yeah. I mean, we saw each other a couple of times after that. But, like, I don't know. It was always weird with him. But, like, I feel like that was kind of, like, the deal breaker almost.
I would like to bring up, too, if I may...
Yeah, you
may. For some reason, sucking dick also made me think of 69ing, and this time I 69ed a woman, and she was down on me, and she came on my face, and there's this way in which I think we should not, I think a lot of times when people think about cunnilingus, it's almost always one person laying on their back, and then a person with their face in between their legs, and in my own experience, and I think others, I have thoroughly enjoyed someone sitting on my face and or me sitting on someone else's face.
I love that so much.
I feel like you can get so much more leverage from the pussy to the ass when you are from a vertical position.
Sure.
I can't come sitting up.
I was just gonna say, because like, here's the thing, that has always been a go-to. Recently there's this one lady who I'm sleeping with, and she was just like, yeah, no, that's like, I can't. She's like, it's not that it's not hot and like whatever. It's like, it's just, I cannot come that way.
Right.
Like she's like, I need to be lying down. I need like whatever. And it's all still very hot, but I was very surprised. And then after having that encounter, I started talking to some friends about this, and I've heard that that's more common than I was aware of.
I mean, I enjoy sitting, like, I can still totally enjoy the act of doing that. Yeah. It's just unlikely, not impossible, but highly unlikely it's going to bring me over the edge.
Right.
But I don't know. I just have to say, like, and I don't want to fetishize any group of people, but
do it.
The idea of a fat lady sitting on my face is really appealing to me.
Ooh. Really?
Out there. Ooh. Yeah.
I want to put out there, too, that, like, as even though I haven't come from sitting on someone's face, I had a partner in the past who enjoyed it when I spread my ass cheeks and basically made them suffocate so that they had to gasp for air in between licking me up and down. And I, like, masturbate to that now. That was so hot. It was so hot.
Isn't that kind of an asphyxiation fetish?
I think it's a domination asphyxiation.
Yeah.
Huh. It's like this way in which like they're being made to submit to the pussy and the ass. Mm. Like, I think that's a big part of it.
The only time I've ever had, well, okay, and actually, So since like no. So as I mentioned, sometimes I like grabbing the back of people's fucking and then just like masturbating by like rubbing my pussy on their face. I think one of the problems that one runs into when they do that is it might make it a little bit harder for them to breathe.
Oh,
is
that so people are drowning in Victor's pussy.
I know. So there have been one or two people who have been like, maybe we should talk about that before you do that. And like, yes, consent is sexy, so whatever. But then there have been other people who...
So whatever.
Yeah. But there have been a few, but there have been others that like really liked when I did that. But again, I guess that's more of a thing. Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Consent is essential. But I feel like the consent to sexy thing can like be taken too far. Like I introduced...
Feminist shock jocks.
I introduced you to a certain Facebook group.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm so glad we're talking about this.
Should maybe remain nameless? I don't know. Can it?
Okay. Maybe it should. I don't know.
Maybe it should. But let's just say it's supposedly a queer cruising page.
Yeah.
I would say that there's very... It sounds sexy, right? Wrong. Like, there's very little actual cruising going on and a lot of, like... acrimony over labels and nitpicking and stuff. And one of the things somebody said was like, oh, like I am looking for somebody to have long consent talks with and coconut oil massage.
Yeah, I know.
And I was just like, oh, and also wanted somebody who was scent free and like 420
fragrance free.
Fragrance free.
Like body fragrance?
Like yeah, but like they washed their sheets and I mean like,
and they were also like and 420 friendly, like, oh, like don't worry, like I can't take smoke, but don't worry, have a great vaporizer.
They wanted a clone.
Yeah, it kind of sounded well. Yeah.
Or a robot. Look,
the sex robots are coming. That person's gonna be so happy in 10 years. I mean, I personally like to have sex with dirty humans.
Yeah,
like that's how I prefer my sex.
I mean,
for sure.
In this person's limited defense, because I, not only do I love that post, I have screenshot it and probably shown it to like every person I know, which I'm surprised I haven't to you, New Brit.
Oh,
but
okay.
Like, I mean, her reasons for being fragrance free, and like it was supposed to have to do with. Like, she mentioned she was disabled, and, like, there was some... Let's just say it was the most specific
post. It's very specific. Intensely specific. Yeah. I mean, but the fragrance-free thing, and let's just say that I live in the Bay Area now. Fragrance-free thing is fairly big there, I've noticed. But I don't want to, like, mess up our sex podcast with talking about religion, but I did go to synagogue there, to, like, a very hippie synagogue. And
you could be a slut and go to synagogue.
There was
totally
there was a fragrance free section.
Oh wow! Whoa!
Yeah. So like that's the thing. I don't know. I feel like it's that would be unworkable in New York City. Pretty much.
Yeah.
Like you can't really avoid.
Well,
I'm wearing perfume, so fuck that. And that's I would like to. I just want to note we have a certain limited amount of time left, and I feel like a topic we haven't touched on that we wanted to was the hair of the pussy.
Oh, yeah. Pussy hair.
Pussy. And
pussy hair preferences?
Pussy hair preferences for ourselves, for licking others. I have a particular story I want to share, but you started.
No. It sounds like you have the...
Okay, so I like my pussy hair. I enjoy the extra stimulation that it gives when it is caressed. But I have also felt at different times in my life like I should have a more bald-ass pussy. And so I have gone through different iterations of the pussy hair. I shaved it briefly in college. By briefly, I mean for like a week, and I never did that again. And then I went for a long time with just like a beard trimmer situation where I would keep it really short. And then lately, I've been letting it all hang out. But that brings me to my story, which is that right after college, my family gave me a little bit of money, and I guess it was seed money for life, but it, like any
spend it on your pussy,
irresponsible, basically like any irresponsible person. I went to Europe by myself, and I didn't shave my pussy or do anything to myself for weeks and weeks. And at the end of my trip, I ended up in this town called Viareggio, which is a town on the coast of Italy, where all the Florence urbanites go to vacation. And I drank a carafe of wine, and I propositioned my waiter, And you might not know this, but in Italy, if you want to take someone back to your hotel room, you actually have to pay more money because it's like they charge by the person for the hotel room. And I was like a cheap bastard, so I was like, let's not go back to my hotel. I was like, let's go to the beach.
Fucking
ass. So we went to the beach. And
cheap as sex.
I know, right? And on the beach in Italy, they have, usually during the day, you like rent a beach chair, but at night, you kind of sneak in and the beach chairs are all there. Mm-hmm. So we ended up laying on this beach chair and he went down on me on my like hairy, hairy pussy. Mm. This guy, my waiter, it turns out I found out from him, was on leave from the Italian Navy. And he Ooh. Went down there.
Was he wearing a uniform?
He was not. He was in his waiter digs. But like, it was right by the water. The ocean was, you know, flowing the way the ocean does. The moon was high in the Mediterranean. And he was eating my pussy like he'd never tasted anything so good in his life. When his like mustache beard like blended with my pussy hairs. And he kept saying in between things, Bella, Bella, Bella,
Oh,
bella,
my God.
Bella.
This is the most Italian thing that ever happened.
Oh, my God. And while he was jerking himself off. And he came eating my pussy. And, like, it was one of the hottest things that has ever happened to me.
And you don't think it would have happened if your pussy
By the way,
under.
I was cheating on my boyfriend at the time. When I was
it might have been one of the hottest things that have ever happened. Period.
It was so amazing. And then right afterwards, I was like, I really have to pee. And at that point in life, I was 22. I had, even in front of my live-in boyfriend, I had never peed before. And he was just like, go over in the sand. And so I went and like squatted and peed in the sand. And the sun was there and the waves were coming in. And I was like, this is fucking great. Like when I'm like decrepit in a nursing home, I'm going to remember this night and be so glad that I just fucking went for it, you know? Because I got my pussy eaten out by this gorgeous Italian man who loved my hairy pussy. And I think, honestly, ever since then, part of the reason I love my hairy pussy is because he thought it was so beautiful.
I thought there was a golden shower scene coming there.
Yeah, no.
No, I'm not into that. It's true. It's
yeah.
Not,
well, if you can't pee in front of your partner first,
right?
Then, yeah. Miss Manus, I know that you have some views on the pussy hair situation.
I mean, I think everybody should style their pussy hair the way they like. I'm not really in the business of telling other people what to do. I've been like Newbrit. I've dabbled in many different styles.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like for me, so people who don't know me and who are just listening can't see me, but like, I don't necessarily look like the person who would be all into waxing and shit, right? Like I have short hair and hairy armpits, but I am into waxing. I like it, it's kind of my preference for myself.
But
I like
do you wax
it
all, or do you just wax like around the main pussy area?
Well, my waxer waxes it all.
Well, of course.
it depends. I've gone through different phases. Like, I actually, aesthetically, I'm a fan of like, the 60s, like, neat Playboy triangle.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, sometimes I just leave it that way, and then sometimes I wax it all. I actually prefer either longer, like, well-kempt but longer, or waxed because of the way it feels. Like, shaved tends to be prickly.
Right.
No, shaved is awful.
I used to shave, but, like, I stopped because it's fucking prickly. Like, it doesn't feel good for me. It doesn't feel good for the person who's touching me.
It makes my area look diseased.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
no.
I get, like, you know what I mean? Like, I get those, like, red bumps. Yes. And, like, it just doesn't look hot. It's
no.
like, come on no. in. Want to eat this? It's like, no, I don't.
I really like the way total waxing feels. Like, I love how, like, soft it is. And, like, if you're with somebody when you're newly waxed, it's an awesome feeling. Aesthetically, I'm like, okay, looks a little like a plucked chicken, you know?
Well, my problem is more the...
I would like to testify that Gail's pussy does not look like a plucked chicken.
Oh.
Oh, shucks.
If only she could rate and review somewhere.
That pussy is very personal all of a sudden. Okay.
Yeah. And how was Newbert's pussy at the time?
It was lovely. It was short. I believe it... Are we doing this?
Yeah, you're
reviewing
doing
each other's
you're doing
pussies.
Yeah.
I believe it was it was trimmed. It was like short and trimmed. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. But yeah, I prefer like neatly trimmed. Like I did hook up with a lady once who had like really long, like underneath, like the undercarriage is what I care the most about. And there was like kind of a dread situation, almost like matted, like undercarriage. And I was just like, I wanted to not care about it, but I was like, it was rough.
Well, because the way that dread occurs is
it wasn't like dreads, but it was like clumping together.
Yeah.
And you are, you talking about pussy hair matting? Like, that's the thing?
Yeah.
What?
Especially on the bottom, because, and here's the gross part. We're going to get really gross here. The reason it's clumping is probably because of some discharge situation that happened.
Oh, my God. Like, people take your showers.
Like, don't get me wrong. I mean, like, everyone has a little discharge. No big deal. But, like, yeah, when you have clumps of hair that are, like, discharging.
Oh, my God. Y'all are making pussy.
I want to say, this lady was clean. Like, it wasn't like she hadn't showered, but it was just, like, I just think she was in the habit of, like, not trimming at all, ever. And it was just, like, a lot of matted hair.
See, the thing about that shocks me is that, like, I feel like I run my hands through my hair often enough that, like, there would be no chance.
I know. I touch myself so much. It's really hard to, like.
It's fascinating to me that could even occur.
No, but it does. I've experienced that being on the other end of it, you know, where someone's pubic hair is a little matted. But here's the thing. I mean, I just also feel like when you're getting in someone's genitals, there's going to be things.
They're going to be things.
Like,
they're going to be surprises.
Yeah, they're going to be surprises, and they're not all great surprises, but, like, if you're truly DTF, like, you're going to deal with it.
You're going to deal with it.
I've had there's been more than a few occasions where I was bringing back to going down on women, and then a little discharge comes out, and then you just wipe it away, and you keep going. You don't make a, oh my god, like, we're talking about clean, like you know, on the clear.
You're talking about, like, egg white discharge.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a time of month thing.
It is. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Like, it means you're ovulating or something like that. Yeah, exactly. It just happens, and, like, you wipe it out of the way, and you keep going. Like, I don't know.
Okay, this brings up something that is interesting to me that I found out when we were out with our last guest.
Little J,
we were out drinking one time, and yeah. I was saying, I have never had anyone go down on me when I was on my period.
Oh, yeah, that's so weird.
It's weird that it's never happened, or it's weird that people do it?
No, it's weird that it's never happened.
Okay, let me modify, because I have maybe twice when I had a tampon in that has happened, but I remember Little J talking about how, like, I mean, there's the talk of red beard, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think some people are more, like, DTF in the period than others when it comes to cunnilingus.
I'm so horny when I have my period. That's the thing.
Yeah, I think some people are also, like, really into the idea of hooking up with ladies on their period, and other people are, like, grossed out by it. Okay. I've never either. Nobody's ever eaten me out when I was on my period. Yeah. I have a somewhat, like, my relationship to this has changed because I found out, like, 6 years ago that I have hepatitis C, which is, like, a bloodborne disease, which I've had my whole life. Long story. I kind of don't have anymore, by the way. Celebration. Anyway, that's an aside. Medical technology is great. But being that I knew that, I suddenly had to be very careful about who came in contact with my blood, and it kind of killed period sex for me, obviously. But if it's going to not be an issue in the future, like, I would totally be into that. And I feel like more. I don't know. People are weird about that. I don't know why they are.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, I say this, but then I'm probably lying. it's not the kind of thing that you, in theory, want to do with a stranger. Yeah. It's like more of like a, you know, committed relationship, etc. But I'm trying to backtrack
one night stand period sex.
I'm pretty sure there have been some, but I would say one night stands that I've had on my period when it comes to, like, anyone going outside or inside my vagina. I think it's mostly been with a tampon when we're not doing like penetration. But in relationships, I'll fucking, like, go for it. Like,
I've been penetrated. You know, I've just never had.
Oh my god! I'm also
the tongue and
so
lips down
open
there
to like anal stimulation when I'm in my period.
Oh my god! So fucking hot.
But no, I once had, like, sex with this former partner, and we were watching. This is like the gayest thing that ever happened. So we were watching Liv Tyler and Stealing Beauty. which is all about like this girl in the Italian countryside exploring her sexuality and like finding it. And we just couldn't help it. We got like really turned on, and we both had our periods, and we were both like full the fuck on. Not just like a little bit light trickle, but like, yeah, like yeah. bleeding.
Picturing you know, like bloody handprints on
yeah.
the wall here.
No, yeah. By the, yeah. So we got so turned on and just fucking had to do it. And by the end of it, like, yeah, it looked like a fucking massacre. And like we were cannibals. And like we had to like throw out like our sheets. Like it was just like, it was like, yeah, it was, but it was also great fucking sex. Yeah. You know what
it
I mean?
It sounds really hot. It was really hot. I wish people did that more.
You just reminded me of a time, which is, this is my most epic period sex. Is my ex-husband was fucking me, and he pulled out because that was our main contraceptive method at the time.
Because don't try this at home, kid.
Yeah.
And when he did, somehow a piece of my uterine lining flew through the air and landed in my hand.
You mean like a clot?
Like a clot.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like
yeah.
flew out, yeah, landed yeah. in my hand. He finished on my stomach.
Yeah.
And then, like, I pulled my hand out, and I literally had, like, and I was like, well, that's never happened before. Yeah. Yeah, and again, anything can happen, y'all. Yeah. Like, when you're having sex, you never know. Things can get really interesting really fast.
Yeah.
You know, and you just kind of had to be open. You know, we laughed about it. It was hilarious. But it didn't ruin the moment.
Well, this kind of...
He was GGG. It was good.
This kind of speaks to, remember when we were at, Sex at a Go-Go, and they were talking about like for anal sex, like especially they were mostly talking about gay men douching beforehand,
right? And we were like, what?
Yeah.
Oh, I do that.
Really?
Every time?
Okay, we need to.
Okay. Oh, okay. So this is actually a problem. So I used to be more. I'm still a slut, but like I used to. Most of the sex I had used to be much more planned because I didn't live with somebody and like all that stuff. So I would know that I was about to have sex. So, yeah, if I thought there was a chance we were having butt sex, I would douche first, for sure. And this is actually a problem. This is a problem now that I'm, like, living with somebody. It's like, you can't just have anal sex on the fly. Like, it's tricky.
But don't you think... Okay.
The term that I always use is whether or not I am open or not open for business.
Yeah.
That's what I always say.
But you don't always know for sure. And you know what? Like, honestly, it's... For me, I mean, I feel much... It's much easier for me to enjoy the butt sex if I can rest assured in the knowledge that there's not going to be any centaurum, shall we say.
Yes.
I mean, it happens. Like, I think, like you said before about any sex, is like things happen. If you're in somebody's butt, you got to kind of realize there might be some poo. But, like, I think it's courteous to douche, you know?
No.
I have had, I rarely do. I tried to do, the times that I've tried to do the enema.
Yeah, I guess we should mostly say enema because that's what we're talking about really.
It was
more than
it was mostly unsuccessful. Maybe I'm just bad at that. But because the main thing for me is just like, if it's been a couple hours since, you know, I've done what I need to do for the day, then I'm open for business. Then things are clean and let's do this. Like,
yeah, no. Here, okay.
I might be some individual variation.
There's definitely some individual regularities.
Regularity differences.
I poop like 17 times a day. So you think that I'd be like more afraid of it, but like the only time
should we be concerned for you, Dictator?
You should.
Dictator has some bowel issues. I think this is common knowledge.
I have some bowel issues, and yet am an anal sex enthusiast. It's the worst. It's the worst.
To our like regularity schedule.
But here's the thing. Like, I know when I'm having a good day bowel wise.
Right.
So yeah, it's like I will be
know thyself. Know thee, sweet.
Yes. So yeah, no, I know. Yeah, and only once in an anal sex situation was there a little bit of stuff happening.
Yeah.
And basically, and this was the dude, and his thing was just like, whatever. I got to put my dick up your ass, and my thing was like, oops. You know what I mean? But that's the thing.
This is my thing. If you want to have anal sex, like,
you just have to.
Part of it is the taboo of that orifice,
No, to me, it's not the taboo. To me, it's amazing, nerve ending, situation.
I think for most people who want to do it to another person, it's taboo.
Yeah.
To receiving, it feels fucking great.
Oh,
depending on the person. Again, I want to make a point that, like, if somebody tells you they're not into anal sex, like, believe them and don't try to be sneaky about it.
Oh, absolutely. No,
that's called anal rape. Yeah. So don't do that to people.
No, I only rape people's faces. I don't rape their butts.
It's good. Unfortunately, I think some people are so afraid to talk about it, they end up trying to, like, sneak in there. And they don't consider that literally is anal rape. Like, don't be sneaking in.
Okay, I'm going to, like, if I may here, though. Like, no. Don't get me wrong. I would never.
I have put a finger in the ass.
Put anything in someone's ass if they told me they didn't like that.
Right. Or
they never would. But if I may, I think I was talking to girl with boyfriend, who's one of the people who I'm sleeping with, who's great.
Oh shit, we have 1 minute.
You know what? Anyway, the point is, don't worry about it, don't rape people. Okay, so if we're going to close down, why don't I talk a little bit about our
Let's see what our next podcast is going to be.
Okay, so our next podcast is, it's about where are all the butches going? Apparently, that's a concern, that butches are disappearing in the girl-on-girl culture, and one possible explanation is that people who would once be butches are now turning into trans men. And
as our guest speakers, I guess, we're going to have one trans man and hopefully one butch lady.
The butch lady said yes. So, yeah, we're good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so, and
whether... I got to do the close.
Okay.
I think
so
we're out of here.
Thanks for listening, guys. Bye-bye.
Love you.